it boils down to you just really don't believe God, like the Jehovah's Witnesses, if there are any women among them. And of course there are, last I checked, they can't be members of the 144,000. I was corrected about Jehovah's Witnesses. Several people wrote me, meaning two, and they reminded me that the 144,000, not that wasn't to the Jehovah's Witnesses. I think I'm going to get this right. It's not that those are the only number of people saved, but that those are the people going to heaven. They're special. And the rest of them stay on earth. I think I got that straight. So only males are going to heaven if you're a Jehovah's Witness. And how ironic, it's just flat out not believing God. Celibate males specifically says, and they stay on earth. And I'm going to next week tell you what they do. They have a role. And when you see what it is, it makes so much sense because we're having a government on earth. So I'm looking forward to next week to giving you the role of the 144,000. And then after that, we're opening the seventh seal, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going to start talking about trumpets. And yeah, beware. Beware of that. That's coming. Now, I promise you some passages from Ezekiel, and I'm going to deliver. Let's start in Ezekiel chapter 36. God says to Ezekiel, "And thou, son of man, prophet..." I'm going to get rid of the thous. This is from Young's Literal Translation. "Prophesy unto the mountains of Israel, and you have said, O mountains of Israel, hear a word of Jehovah. Thus said the Lord Jehovah, because the enemy set against you, aha, and the high places of old for a possession have been to us, therefore prophesy, and thou hast said..." I slept into it. Thou, it's written there, I said it. I meant to say thou. "Thus saith the Lord..." Would you get to the point here, please? "Thus saith the Lord Jehovah..." Are we getting to it now? "Even because of desolating and the swallowing you up from round about, for you are being a possession to the remnant of the nations." This is interesting. Now we're talking about a remnant of the nations here. Not a remnant of Israel, but Israel has been swallowed up. There it is. "The swallowing up from round about, for you being a possession to the remnant of the nations." The nations, as Paul says in Romans 11, have now taken the place that Israel is supposed to take. That is, the nations are running the earth. And that's a pure embarrassment to an Israelite. No wonder they're so grouchy. And they think they're so all that. They're basically pissed off at us, at the Goyim, the nations, because we are usurping their proper place. But they screwed up. They crucified their own Messiah. So what do they expect? This is why Paul says that the branches of the tree shouldn't flaunt over the root of the tree. The root of the tree is Israel. And God began speaking to Israel. And because Israel's disobedience, God has gone to the nations with a completely new message. Israel will see that. They will get jealous. And they will come into their own call. Not mixing the evangels here, not at all. We're still talking about two different messages. But while the nations, the era of the nations, while we're in the lead politically on the earth, and Israel is the tail, it can be said, and it is said, that they're swallowed up from round about. "And you are taken up to the tip of the tongue and are an evil report to the people." Wow. People just, yeah, and it's true. It's called anti-Semitism. They hate Israel. The world hates Israel. Much persecution. And in the end of this era, the nations will be gathered against Israel. Not all of them. Well, all of them will be, but not every member of every nation. That's a technicality. We'll get to that when the time comes, and we'll be borrowing from Matthew 25, the judgment of the nations. Verse 4, Ezekiel 36, "Therefore, O mountains of Israel, hear a word of the Lord Jehovah." That's a figure of speech, because the mountains can't hear anything. "Thus says the Lord Jehovah, to mountains and to hills, to streams and to valleys, and to wastes that are desolate, and to cities that are forsaken, that have been for a prey and for a scorn, to the remnant of the nations who are round about. Therefore, thus saith the Lord Jehovah, have I not, in the fire of my jealousy, spoken against the remnant of the nations and against Edom?" Now, my interpretation here, he's going to be gradually talking about the end times. But many things have happened that will precursor the end times in Israel's past. Them being possessed by other nations, that happened to both the house of Israel in Assyria and to the house of Judah in Babylon. Likewise, today, Israel is possessed by nations. Not literal captivity, but they're persecuted. They're hounded. They still own everything, but that's only a select few. That's only the cream of the crop, if you will. The rest of Israel are forsaken. The remnant will always be downtrodden. You had the rich in Israel. You had the Herods, the priesthood, high priest, Caiaphas, these clowns. And you had the poor beggar, you know, Lazarus in the parable, the poor sinner of the street. These are the true Israelites. Have I not in the fire of my jealousy spoken against the remnant of the nations and against Edom, all of it, who gave my land to themselves for a possession, with the joy of that whole heart, with the spite of soul, for the sake of casting it out for a prey? Therefore prophesy concerning the ground of Israel. And you have said to the mountains and to the hills, to streams, to valleys, thus say the Lord, lo, I, in my jealousy, in my fury, I have spoken because of the shame of the nations you have borne. Israel has suffered where she has gone to the nations. Therefore, say the Lord. All this stuff gets repetitive. I lifted up my hand. Do not the nations who are with you round about, they their own shame bear? And ye, O mountains of Israel, you branch, you give out your fruits, you bear, and my people, they have drawn near to come. This is why I hate reading the Old Testament. Sorry, I just admitted it. The language is archaic. It bothers me. It's very difficult to read. It's hard. I don't like it, I'll be honest with you. I have caused men to walk over you, my people Israel, and they possess thee. Okay, yeah, we've been over that, Ezekiel. We've been through that. Can we move on? Okay. Therefore they devour me, nations devour me. I proclaim not unto thee anymore the shame of the nations. Been there, done that, son of man. Yes, you've already, we know who you're talking to. I do pour out my fury upon them for the blood that they have shed on the land, and with their idols they have defiled it. Now we're getting somewhere. I'm an 18. We're getting somewhere now. I pour my fury on them, and we're seeing this in prophecy here. We see it for the blood. This is the opening of the fifth seal, I believe, the martyrs crying out for vengeance. I scatter them among nations. Here we go, 19. I scatter them among nations, and they are spread through lands according to their way and according to their doings. I have judged them. So they're disobedient. They forsook their first love. He divorced Israel, and they're scattered among the nations. That's where they are now. But I have pity on my holy name. God does never forget, never forgets. He has pity on his holy name that the house of Israel have polluted among the nations where they've gone. Paul said this in Romans chapter 2. Because of you, I think 2:24, because of you, the name of God has been blasphemed among the nations. Exactly what he's saying here. The house of Israel has polluted the nations whither they have gone. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, not for your sake am I working, O house of Israel, but for my holy name. He still loves them, but he promised. That's his first consideration, is his reputation, and it should be. That you, it's for my name that you've polluted where you've gone, and I've sanctified my great name that is profaned among nations, that you've polluted in your midst. And known have the nations that I am Jehovah. They don't know that now, but they will. An affirmation of the Lord Jehovah in my being sanctified in you before your eyes. This before your eyes stuff hasn't happened. This is a prophecy, and this is going to happen in the unveiling. And I have taken you out of the nations, and have gathered you out of all the lands, and have brought you into your land. He's speaking proleptically here. I honestly believe this. He's calling what is not as though it were, because he has not taken them out of the nations. And no, this is not the formation of modern Israel in 1948. This is not that. This is when he does it in the future. We're going to see that. I have taken you out of the nations. This is what I was telling you, that the house of Israel, Amos 9:9, and we saw it here, has been scattered among every nation on earth. And God is going to plan to call them out. I have taken you out of the nations and out of the nations. See, that's why I say don't look to Israel for them 144,000. And I've gathered you out of all the lands, and I have brought you in unto your land. Verse 24. I'm going to show you why I think this is future. Verse 25. And I have sprinkled over you clean water. That hasn't happened yet. And you have been clean. That hasn't happened yet. From all your uncleanness. That hasn't happened yet. From all your idols. That hasn't happened yet. I do cleanse you. Verse 26. And I have given to you a new heart. And a new spirit I have given in your midst, and I have turned aside the heart of stone out of your flesh, and have given you a heart of flesh. Hasn't happened yet. That was verse 26. This is a verse commonly referenced for the new covenant. Ezekiel 36:36. But now I'm showing you this verse. You're used to seeing this isolated. I'm showing it to you in context. The context is that A, because of her disobedience, God scattered Israel. You can go all the way back to the Assyrian captivity, taking the house of Israel that was in Samaria and scattering them. That God did that to discipline them, and he never brought those people back. So he sent them to all the nations. And he's talking about the house of Israel here, verse 22, O house of Israel, I've given you a new heart, a new spirit. I have turned aside the heart of stone, given you a heart of flesh, and my spirit I give in your midst. So this is future. And therefore, the past part of this, the past part is that he scattered them among the nations. The future part is that he's going to visit them among the nations when Romans 11:25 happens. When the complement of the nations may be entering the body of Christ, then God's going to go to Israel again, and he's going to visit them and bring them to the land. This is not the little peewee return to Israel in 1948. What we're going to see here, what is spoken of in Ezekiel 36, is the ultimate bring back to Israel, the ultimate national resurgence, the ultimate pilgrimage to the land when God delivers them, when God puts his spirit in them, and he brings them from the four corners of the earth. And my spirit I give in your midst, and I have done this so that in my statutes you walk. The new covenant. What statutes? The law. And my judgments you keep and have done them, and you have dwelt in the land that I have given to your fathers. They don't dwell there now. Well, Martin, there are Israelites in Israel, not the true Israelites, and you have been to me for a people, and I'm for your God. Some of them, yeah, I'm not saying that this is totally black and white, cut and dry. There's going to be some in Israel, I'm sure, but the majority are from among the nations. And I have multiplied the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field, so that you receive not any more a reproach of famine among the nations. And you have remembered your ways that are evil. How does that happen? The tribulation. You have remembered your ways that are evil. The tribulation. I've been calling it from day one here a wake-up call for Israel. It's a wake-up call for the world, but it's also mainly a wake-up call for Israel. You've remembered your ways and your doings that are not good, and have been loathsome in your own faces for your iniquities and for your abominations. Not for your own sake am I working an affirmation of the Lord. Be it known to you, be ashamed and confounded because of your ways, O house of Israel. But he's going to bring them back. And he's going to do that in the most shocking manner you have ever witnessed. And there's another prophecy concerning this, and that's the Valley of Dry Bones. I'm tying this all in with the 144,000. So on Monday, we will visit the Valley of Dry Bones, Ezekiel chapter 37. Read it on your own over the weekend. Don't get bogged down with it, because you have already been made alive. The prospects of Israel are as a valley of dry bones. All their expectation is gone. There's no hope. And you're not going to see any peace plan working from any of our politicians, because when the Lord makes this amazing, gigantic move to call from the four corners of the world, from all the nations, his true people, they're going to be in a desolate state. They're not going to be all, you know, gaudy and suffused with spirituality. They're going to be a remnant, a true remnant, a ragtag fugitive fleet, just like we are now. So there are some similarities. Ragtag fugitive fleet. God calls the unwise, weak, ignoble, and stupid. It's the same with us, and it's the same with Israel, because this is going to be a mighty work of God. And when you see this, nobody's going to pat each other on their back. They're going to glorify and praise the God of Israel.